Madeline, hi.
Hi, Kerry. I'm Madeline Flanagan, the woman who won the ACC fight.
Yes, you are. Who was the catalyst for our discussion this morning?
So I heard people were phoning me at work. Well, I just wanted to ring in because this has been an incredibly long ordeal for me and my family, from the day the car accident happened through to finally winning some 5.5 years later.
Yeah.
And in the Herald article, which I was pretty happy with, the ACC was quoted as saying that the reason it reversed its decision on me was that it found the consistency and rationale of the two specialist opinions, I actually filed three, more compelling than Mr. Brian Otto's report, who they had sent me to. And I really want to stress that after they insisted, complete with threats of, if you don't see this particular doctor, we're going to cut you off, which I got in writing, this particular, you know, Mr. Otto, every doctor and specialist who'd seen me at that point and subsequently had said it was an accident. It was only Otto. And each time we gathered a report, my lawyers and I gathered a report that was against Mr. Otto, we sent it to ACC. So they saw these three reports I later filed 2 years ago, 1 year ago, the most recent one. And they didn't settle until just recently, and they settled about 2 weeks after they were served my appeal papers. So I am very sceptical that it was the compelling nature of my specialist reports. I think it was more the imminent nature of the court.
That's exactly what I was saying, that it's only just before the district court where they go, oh, yeah, all right then. You know, when they realise that you're actually serious and that you've held your nerve and, you know, kept going, and then they go, yeah, all right. Because I've heard of this before, where just before a court date is due, they go, oh, okay then. Yep. It's just wrong.
It is, and at the time I was seeing my specialist who did the surgery on my neck, he said to me, if ACC ever send you to one of these doctors, these specialists, and he named, I don't know, three of them in Auckland, and Brian Otto was one of them, he said, they're trying to exit you, hire a lawyer, and he even suggested John Miller Law in Wellington. I mean, and look, I'm a professional, an orthopaedic surgeon is a professional. Professionals don't usually speak about each other that way. I mean, you might see that in internet discussions and things like that, but orthopaedic surgeons, you know, like lawyers, don't trash each other.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And when they said, you have to go see Brian Otto, I rang up and said, well, that's inconvenient. I have one, you know, I have something on at that time. Can I change the appointment? This other orthopaedic surgeon can see me, because I'd rung around and asked, you know, for a similarly qualified people to see me. They got really threatening. They said that I had to see Mr. Otto and only Mr. Otto. They wrote me a letter saying that if I tried to see anyone different, they would cut me off. I've got that letter, and that was in there. In fact, that's on my blog at the moment with all my affidavits. And they were really, really insistent that it was him and only him, and they said things like, we've been waiting for you to see him for a very long time, which was news to me. And when I walked in from the waiting room, he shows me to my seat and he says, right, we're here today to talk about your degenerative condition.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what do you mean by degenerative? I was in a car accident. And he sort of said, oh, precisely that, and then changed the subject. And then he says, did you bring your x-rays and MRI scans? Because I haven't seen them yet. So contrary to what he's quoted saying in the Herald, that I perhaps didn't realise he could access them, he was explicit that he hadn't. And I said, no, I didn't bring them. ACC didn't tell me to. And secondly, every other specialist I've seen has been able to log in and access them, you know, on the central registry. So I knew about that. And I said that to him. And he said, oh, well, I haven't got that kind of technology in my rooms. I can contact ACC afterwards. So he'd made it clear he hadn't seen x-rays, MRIs, bone scans. He hadn't, at that point that he made the degenerative comment, asked me a single medical question.
Yeah, I know. He must
And my husband, who was a PhD, he's got a doctorate, and he specialises in bioethics and sort of philosophy, and so he's an expert in logic and how to reason from the facts to a conclusion. He was sitting with me, and he also swore an affidavit. So
I know, I understand how frustrating. Just in conclusion, though, we had one caller who said, well, if you could finish a law degree, why couldn't you go to work?
Ah, well, I was working full-time at the time of the accident and doing finishing my law degree part-time. My I was working for Sanitarium Health Food, and they were paying for me to finish my degree. And I couldn't work, and I only had about, I was medically cleared to for 8 hours functionality a week, which was useless to my employers. But that 8 hours was enough to do, like, one lecture a week. So I'd knocked off one university paper a week, but for the first 2 years of doing that, I didn't go to classes. I lay on the couch because I couldn't sit for more than about 15, 20 minutes, and my husband drove into my classes, taped them, took notes, brought them back to me. Other students did the same thing. The university's disability service did the same thing.
I lay
on the couch and did it that way and set exams and bean bags because I couldn't sit. And
I did say that I thought that
it was torture.
It's quite different, but, you know, finishing off a degree and doing a couple of papers than it is to working full time. Thank you, Madeline. Lovely to hear from you, and congratulations. News Talk ZB 19 to 11.